Welcome to the latest payments podcast, Winning with SEPA. We're here to discuss where SEPA is at and the current state of SEPA migration. I'm here with Steve Hawkes, payment specialist from Experian. Steve, can you tell us what the overall state of the SEPA migration is?
Yes, Dom. As at the end of December 2013, which is the latest information we have in terms of statistics, the SEPA project was in effect over 98% of the way through its timeline. When you consider that the SEPA credit transfer started in 2008 and the direct debit scheme started in November 2009. As at the end of December, 74% of credit transfers had been successfully processed as SEPA payments and 41% of direct debits had been processed as SEPA collections. This is actually quite a significant increase over the November figures, which back in November the SEPA direct debit figure was just over 12%. And it was these figures that gave concern to the European Payments Council and the European Central Bank and indicated that the 1st of February 2014 migration deadline would be missed by many. What has been obvious is that whilst the European Union expected everybody to have completed by the 1st of February, in the last few months it's quite apparent that that date was going to be missed by many countries, even considering the acceleration in the take-up over the December period as well. And it was for this reason that the European Union issued an announcement on the 9th of January detailing that there would be a six-month grace period whereby legacy payment systems could continue until the 1st of August 2014. After this point, all existing payments systems will be switched off and only SEPA systems will be available. And even with the six-month grace period, there's still a hell of a lot to do for many countries and sectors across Europe. Again, considering that where we are today is after 25 months since the original migration date was announced. In terms of readiness, well, payment service providers have been ready for quite some time and are quite well prepared for the SEPA end date, be that February or now August. Businesses, on the other hand, still have a lot to do over the next 6 months, and especially small and medium enterprises, which pose the biggest challenge across the Eurozone if they're expected to meet the 1st of August grace period deadline.
Thanks, Steve. So which countries are looking likely to miss deadlines?
Okay, the six-month grace period should provide enough time for all of the countries to be in a pretty good shape by August. But the European Central Bank is using a traffic light system to identify countries and types of businesses that have the biggest challenges. Those countries providing the most concern at this moment in time are France, Germany, Luxembourg in some respects, and Spain. And especially amongst large billers such as telcos and utilities companies, and as mentioned previously, small and medium enterprises. On a positive note, there are many countries that are actually well prepared and expect to meet the 1st of August deadline quite easily across all sectors, and these include Finland, Netherlands, Portugal and Slovenia, and in fact several countries are holding to the original 1st of February deadline date as well.
So Steve, what are authorities saying about the new SEPA deadline?
Within the recent EU statement on SEPA, Michel Barnier, the Internal Market and Services Commissioner, stated that the transition period will not be extended after the 1st of August 2014. He says that failure to take action could result in serious disruption to payments processing across the Eurozone and have negative consequences for individual consumers and small and medium enterprises in particular, who could have their payments, both incoming payments and outgoing payments, blocked. Now, there is a SEPA Migration Action Roundtable, known as SMART, it's a bit of a mouthful, but this has been set up to coordinate territory migrations now with the 1st of August grace period deadline in mind. And they're identifying at a national level which countries are likely to accept those extensions and are likely to need them. If we look through the key countries and territories, Germany are opting for the six-month grace period, as are Austria. Belgium only expect to require a two-month grace period. Estonia are going to hold the 1st of February date without any need for maintaining legacy systems. Finland, likewise, are holding the original 1st of February deadline date They actually migrated earlier, in fact. France is expected to opt for the six-month grace period. Greece is only expected, or suggested, that they only need 3 months extension. Italy, although have been using the IBAN for quite some time, have asked to have the six-month grace period, but purely as a contingency measure. Ireland require just 1 month's grace period. Luxembourg will opt to extend for 6 months, but again, purely as a contingency. Likewise with the Netherlands, who are in a pretty good shape even today, but they are offering a six-month period just purely for contingency. Portugal are going to offer the six-month grace period, and Spain will allow, on an exceptional basis, legacy formats for credit transfers until the 17th of March and for direct debits up until the 9th of June. So there's variances across pretty much the whole of the Eurozone. Some in good shape and some are moving and holding to the 1st of February, and quite a few are taking up the six-month grace period. Providing an extension of the legacy systems, though, for 6 months will, in effect, have been given businesses over 2.5 years to make these changes since the initial migration date was announced back in December 2011. And the smart team has been put into place to ensure that this happens on time.
Thanks, Steve. Well, some big variances there. What are the implications of missing the new deadline?
Well, there will be no further considerations or grace periods for sure for any non-compliance to the 1st of August extended deadline. With only 6 months to go, businesses need to consider the impacts and changes required on their IT systems. Do these support SEPA? They'll also need to address their internal processes and the resources to ensure that they can actually collect and process the required information in the correct format. The next key area that needs to be addressed is the payments data itself, both their legacy data and the new payments data, the new formats. How do businesses know that this is correct before they switch to SEPA? And businesses will need to understand their data, remove any errors and address any errors that they may have in their data, and this can be very time consuming. And once all of this has been addressed, the systems and the processes and data needs to be tested, and any issues that arise through this testing phase needs to be addressed. Now, what the additional 6 month grace period does help address is the potential bottlenecks that would have been realised without these types of extensions. Businesses should now be better able to utilise any external resource and external capacity that they may need to move to SEPA in a more manageable way. But be rest assured that there will be no further reprieves after the 1st of August 2014. And if businesses fail to be compliant by then, well, payments continuity may be affected, with failed or delayed payments and collections, resulting in reduced business confidence, reduced cost and significant risk. And worst case, mission critical payments will fail, resulting not only in increased errors and rejections and correction costs, but corporates will also suffer reputational damage.
It seems increasingly likely that there's a lot of organisations won't be able to migrate in time for the 1st of August end date. Under these circumstances, corporates need to look to the alternatives such as short-term contingency and conversion services. Well, thank you very much, Steve.
Thank you, Dom.